town needs an enemy.
What are you?
I'm Batman. I can't wait to show you Lunch's toy.
That's not hello.
Do you mind?
You're the Batman.
You in the car. Which part of the Batman?
Hello and welcome to Wayne Talk, Rain Man Digital's exclusive Batman fan show. I'm your host, Paul, and with me today is Mr. Michael Flores.
Hello.
And Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
We are going to kind of go over a good chunk of news here. There's some new news and some olds news, but regardless, it's all stuff we haven't talked about, so we're going to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now in the world of Batman. It's too much for me to keep up on.
It legitimately is. Like, I try to keep up on just like, oh, hey, this is interesting and I want to talk about this. But I always spend like 2 hours just going through various newses like the night before a show. Nobody can tell, though. We're super professional.
But it's also hard to gauge what you're going to put into your show notes and what you're interested in, because you refuse sometimes to get... And I don't know if it's because you're an ultimate Batman fan and you don't want to be hurt, but you refuse to get invested sometimes in Batman headlines.
There are. I mean, so I agree, but do you have an example?
Almost everything. You're like, nah, I've heard that for like 5 years.
You didn't want to talk about Robert Pattinson for like 3 weeks.
I mean, when I send you messages in the chat, Paul, you'll be like, what? Like with an exclamation. Give me, has this been confirmed? I'm like, dude, it's just rumors.
I need to confirm by three sources.
He thinks he's like a Batman journalist over there. Sources, please. Sources.
He's a real newsman. He's not one of these fly-by-night internet journalists.
Extra. There are so many things that I... You know what? I included a couple of the bullshit newses. So we'll hit those.
You know what? That should be a thing, a segment. The bullshit newses. Things that, hey, don't put too much stock in this. It's probably bullshit.
Well, just in general, like, why the... Okay, like, I... Okay, we'll get there.
That's a teaser.
No, fuck it. Here we go. We're gonna start with the Batman.
Angry Paul.
We're right into the news. So, the Batman. Matt Reeves' movie that's gonna be made. So, fucking... There was... I saw two articles that said Aubrey Plaza was down to play Catwoman. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't know, but I like Aubrey Plaza, so I guess let's read this article. The fucking article is she was on the Stephen Colbert show or the Late Show, whatever show Stephen Colbert hosts.
Oh, yeah, I know who she is. The comedian. She's a comedian actress.
Yeah. She was on like Parks and Rec and a lot of other things.
She's pretty attractive.
Yeah. He brought up that apparently she had stated that she was interested in playing Catwoman, and like her response was that, you know, when you do these superhero movies in general are a big thing these days, pop culture and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever she's doing a sort of press tour, this or that, inevitably somebody asks her like, you know, if you could play a superhero or, you know, a comic book character, who would you want to play? And just her response was Catwoman. Because she accidentally liked the Halle Berry movie and,
is that what she said?
Yeah. Well, she didn't say accidentally. She said she really liked the Halle Berry movie.
Oh,
but, you know, moving on,
not so hot anymore.
She's still attractive. She just has bad taste.
Well, that takes you down a couple,
but point being, she said that she would be interested
unless she has
to
bad
play
taste
Catwoman.
In men. If she has bad taste in men, then. Here I am. Sign me up.
She almost definitely does. So
I'm just campaigning to go on a date with her. That's all. If she ever listens to this show, she'll be like, who's that nasally voice guy in the background that keeps interrupting the host?
I'd like to date him. So literally, though, she was just like, I'd like to play Catwoman. I like the Halle Berry movie. And I like Catwoman. And like that is the quote. That is the context.
It's the con
that
quote.
This comes from Aubrey Plaza down to play Catwoman. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's shut up. Don't write that. This isn't important.
So that was the only
Yeah, she was asked in a separate interview who she would want to play. She was like, I'd probably play Catwoman. Catwoman's pretty cool. I like Halle Berry. And then, like, that quote made it to Stephen Colbert, and, like, he followed up, and she was like, well, I was just answering a question at the time. She said she's never going to, like, campaign for the role because she'll never get it.
Right.
So are we now officially the third news source that's reported this, so it's true?
Yeah, she is, in fact, willing to play Catwoman.
Well, I'm going to put it on the name of the show now as a title. I'm going to put Aubrey, what's her name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza to play Catwoman?
Absolutely would play Catwoman.
And I'll put it with a question mark.
If the role was offered to her.
No, I'm not going to put that. I'm going to leave that off. I'm going to do what everybody else does.
Oh, just yeah. Like, clickbait it?
Yeah.
Just Aubrey Plaza, Catwoman, question mark.
You yeah, mean Robert Pattinson leaves the role because of the Batman? And you're like, wait, what?
Another bullshit headline?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's another one. I don't want to get into that, but that was another one that, like, he skipped out on a different role completely unrelated to the Batman because he was going to be the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, way to be a piece of shit. But anyway, moving on. Continuing wow. Catwoman stuff. Vanessa Kirby is rumored to be up for the Catwoman role in the Batman movie. Vanessa Kirby is the beautiful woman who played Jason Statham's sister in the most recent Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
So I will absolutely pay to see her do stuff in leather.
Yeah, we I think we might have mentioned this on a Batman news show before that you weren't in, and I am an advocate for her because she has that whole, I want to say, femme fatale vibe, that noir look that I feel like Catwoman has to have. And I honestly think she's the best name I have seen surfaced that's connected to Reeves's Batman story, because there's a lot of names that are popping up, a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think this is the only one that piques my interest, and
it's also the only one
just gonna okay, just
the only one that I have
full disclosure,
seen
Paul.
For Catwoman. I guess speaking of, for anybody who is currently unaware, as of right now, the production document confirms Penguin, Catwoman, Two-Face, Riddler, Firefly, and Mad Hatter as the villains for the Batman.
Is that too many?
So, yes and no. It depends on how they do it. My understanding is that you know, the story itself is going to be Batman solving a mystery, and one string will lead him to one place, and that will lead to another. So some of these characters, he literally might just track down, punch him in the face, ask for some information, and then get led to another character. So, you know, any one of these people might be in the movie for, you know,
a couple seconds.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a few minute interaction, or they may, you know, be the final one that he gets to, and they're, you know, in it for a good 45 minutes. But I am okay with a lot of characters just kind of being established so that we can then follow up and see them in future movies if necessary or if the opportunity arises. I don't think these are all going to be like, they're all the bad guy and they're going to get like huge screen time. It's not going to be Spider-Man 3 times 2.
They're making an Arkham movie, like the video game. You run around, you run in, you solve the crime, it moves on to something else, whatever the bigger story is.
I don't know, man. I am starting to worry about this Batman movie. I was okay with the Robert Pattinson being cast, but I feel like, I don't know what Reeves is doing, but it does seem like he's trying too hard. He's trying too hard to be different. I mean, there was rumors that he had spoken with Marcella Ali to play Jim Gordon. He wants the pop singer Rihanna to play Poison Ivy. Then there's a rumor that he's looking for a woman of color to play Catwoman. And I'm don't have an issue with any of that. But when you have a black Poison Ivy, a black Jim Gordon, a black Catwoman, it feels like Reeves is trying too hard. You shouldn't be casting actors based on race or creed. You should be casting actors based on their talent as an actor and their ability to portray the character. So the more I find out about this Reeves guy, and then the fact that we're throwing in all these different characters and and he's doing essentially an Arkham story. And he has said on the red carpet that this isn't based on anything. But then as we keep seeing more and more, suddenly now it is based on Arkham. Reeves is a mess, it seems like. And I'm getting more and more nervous about this movie.
Personally, I think that the script Ben Affleck was doing for his movie still sounds so incredible that anything that isn't that is going to be a disappointment because it's not that. So I'm just taking it as it is and we'll see what happens.
And if Ben Affleck was still in charge of this movie and he was doing all these things, I would shrug and be like, you know what? It's Ben Affleck. This dude knows how to write the hell out of a script. He's a good director.
He's a good writer. With big cast.
He has done. Yes, exactly, Bob. He's done ensemble cast before very well. I would have no worries. But this guy has not really made his bones. He's done a few things here and there. Nothing this big. And he's just, I feel like he's trying to do too much.
Like they haven't even started filming yet, have they?
No.
So I don't know. There's so much that could happen at this point because, you know, like I said, the six confirmed villains so far are part of a current production document, which apparently means that shit could change at any time and don't have faith in it.
I would list every character known to man just to flip people out. You want to see the internet flip out? Leak this shit. Put 17 different characters in there.
And maybe none of this is true. Again, we have to take all of these headlines as a grain of salt, right, Paul? This is why you get angry and you try to stay away from this stuff because you probably don't want to die young. But this is what we do. I read things all the time. And the more I hear about this movie, the more I am not interested. And it sucks because I've never not been interested in a Batman movie. So we'll see. I'm not going to be a hater. I'm not going to be a troll. I'm not going to hate on this movie before it comes out. I just know what to look for. I know red flags when I see them. And this movie's starting to have all the signs of a movie that might not be as great as they're hoping it will be. Which would be very sad.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, as long as it's...
Did I just destroy your world,
Paul? No. Just if they hit the mark on actually doing something different than a lot of the other Batman movies have been, then... I guess at least it'll have that. And even if it isn't, you know, great, it'll still kind of have its own merits because it did something different.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be worth rewatching for that reason alone. We'll see.
That's what we want, right? We want something different. We don't want, I think the problem that we're getting into is that everybody's trying to do the Marvel cookie cutter bullshit.
Right.
And we don't necessarily need that. We need change because if everybody does it, then it's not unique anymore. And
exactly.
So I can't again.
For the longest time, Batman movies were either like, "Hey, let's sell some toys," or I mean, like Nolan's whole trilogy, like kind of wanted to be artsy, or at least more artsy than like Batman has ever been before.
Yeah.
And you know, since then we've basically had the explosion of the entire Marvel universe. So we'll see what we get at this point.
Yep.
Has anybody actually just I guess side note because I got it in here. Mm-hmm. Has anybody either seen or heard anything about the Pennyworth series?
I watched half of the first episode and that was about it.
OK, so it premiered at the end of July on Epix. Why did you stop watching?
It just wasn't interesting to me. It was a little slow, especially for a pilot. Mm-hmm. The first 10 or 15 minutes was cool because you find out he's like a security guy, you know, just came back from the military. He runs into, you know, the Wayne family for the first time in London, you know, helping out his sister. And then it goes into like this weird, like romantic story on the park. And I was done.
Lack of opinion is my own fault for not watching any of it, but I literally have not seen since prior to the first episode premiering, I have not seen any articles, any news. I haven't seen anything about the show. I completely forgot it existed until I saw a link to the trailer that I posted in an old set of notes. So like what Is it terrible? Does everybody hate it? Does nobody watch it? Like, what even is this show?
It's got an 80% on IMDb. It has a 70% Rotten Tomatoes. So it's being reviewed favorably for the most part. I have not had an opportunity to watch it, basically for the same reason as you. I was not aware that it even premiered. I asked Bob about it, not because I thought you watched it. I didn't know it came out. And I was trying to figure out if we were going to cover it. And he's like, oh, it's out. And I'm like, it is?
Oops.
I have not heard anything. There was no excitement. And that probably has a lot to do with the fact that it's on Epix.
Epix, isn't it? You're not going to get the advertising anywhere. And I believe it's a pay channel.
Yeah.
It's not on any like satellite companies or anything else. And I think the premiere episode was free. And
it's available on DirecTV.
Oh, okay.
You can buy it on your DirecTV package, or you can do like what everyone else does now with HBO, Cinemax, Stars. But you're right, though, Bob. It's on Epix. It's a small network, and it's not going to make the waves that a show would make if it was on network television or one of the more big tiered paid television outlets or streaming services. I think Epix was hoping this would be their Breaking Bad that would make their network. You know, Breaking Bad made AMC, mm-hmm. The Shield made FX, House of Cards made Netflix a contender within the original programming world. I think they were hoping Pennyworth would be their Breaking Bad. It would be the show that puts Epix on everyone's radar, and it has not. So I wouldn't be surprised if this show gets canceled after this season or even after next.
Cool.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Got to work on those segues, Paul.
Well, we're
sweet.
We're sticking to the TV category.
Sweet.
Next up in TV land, have you seen the set photos of the Nightwing costume?
I liked it a lot. So, yes, I did see it.
I did, too. Looks good.
All right. Yeah. I mean, most of them are from the back, but it's like everything that I could want it to be.
Well, it's all black. Shouldn't all Nightwing photos be from the back?
Oh, that joke doesn't even work because he's wearing sweatpants in all the photos.
It doesn't matter. It's still a good joke.
Yeah. It would have been a good joke if I hadn't explained why it wasn't a good joke.
Thanks, Paul. Pull back the curtain.
Gotta ruin everything tonight.
Yeah, no, but it looks great. I'm super excited for him, one, to finally like become Nightwing, because I feel like the whole first season was building toward that, and then just right at the end abruptly like dropped it. And then with the first episode of season two being the finale of season one, I was just kind of worried about getting back on track. But with episode two and then hopefully three, because I haven't watched it yet, it feels like we're getting there. So I'm excited. But this is not a Titans show, so we're going to move on.
Yeah. Which we are covering on DC and RMD.
We are. I was on one episode. So look for that, everyone. It's way in the past. Another thing that we're going to briefly cover because it's huge. The Crisis on Infinite Earth crossover special event in the CW. Everything. It's not super new news, but I'm fucking stoked that Kevin Conroy is going to be playing a live action Bruce Wayne.
So he is going to be playing Bruce Wayne then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's nobody that deserves it more than him.
Okay. Cause I was a bit bummed because when I saw that news drop, there was a couple headlines saying, no, he will not be playing Batman. And I was like, that's
he's not
Bruce
be
Wayne.
Playing,
I'm like, that's
no,
a little
he's not
disappointing.
Gonna be playing Batman, but he's going to be a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Come on. We got to see him.
And he has kind of a tendency to tease this and that, try to build a following for something on social media. Sometimes it pans out. Sometimes it actually was for something. And sometimes, you know, it just is him talking like a person like we do. Mm-hmm. But he has been pushing recently for Mark Hamill to also play somebody in the crossover, which isn't even like crazy because Mark Hamill was on at least two episodes of The Flash anyway. So we'll see how that plays out, but that's
going to be like an all-star game of people at this point.
Yeah.
Because they just brought the Smallville people back in.
Yeah, yeah.
They've done this with, you know, all kinds of characters. They've had Wonder Woman in the past. They had 90s Flash, you know, and now they're going to bring in Batman the Animated Series people.
I would love for Wilfred L to be in whatever the scene that Kevin Conroy is in.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'm sure we're not done with the announcements. I mean, every week we get two or three more names that are going to be popping up.
I didn't even watch Smallville and have, like, I don't care about it at all, but I'm stoked that Tom Wellings is going to be back, like, from that, because I fell in love with him as a person and a character in the season of Lucifer that he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting crossover. It just you just wonder if they're gonna be able to get all these things in and make it make sense in a 4-hour vlog.
Right, because it is only 4 hours. They're not doing not five?
Five, sorry. I keep forgetting that. Batwoman's
because they usually only do a 3 or 4 hour block, so they have a whole extra hour, but they have so much more this time.
Yeah.
So speaking of CW, what was the Constantine, like, little micro series that they did on CW Seed? What was that, like, City of Demons?
Yeah, City of Demons.
So they announced a Deathstroke animated series is also coming to the CW Seed.
Really?
So presumably that would be Deathstroke from the Arrowverse. We will see what that turns out to be.
That's fun. I like that they keep producing these little bits. I thought it was going to end with the DCU app coming out, that, you know, CW would be like, well, you know what? Or Warner Brothers would be like, yeah, we have the DC universe. But no, I like that they're still producing content for the CWC. There's a lot on that side of things as well. A lot of great content, actually. Old content.
Yeah, because she had a couple seasons of Vixen. They did the gay superhero one that I can't remember his name now.
Ray?
Ray, yes. Thanks. And
they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
They're not horrible.
I just like, is Deathstroke the cheapest license that they have?
Can he's everywhere?
Yeah. It's just like, what do we do? Well, we'll put him in Teen Titans. We'll put him in Titans.
I think he's just the easiest, like, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but he's like, everyone can deal with him because, like, he kind of has super strength and he kind of has a healing factor and he's kind of like unkillable and super tough and really good at fighting. So, like, he could stand up to anybody, whoever you got. It was superpowers or like Robins, he's going to be a threat to them.
Yeah. It's definitely different that we're able to use him so much now, because in years past, you know, we have gone through this during our discussions when we were covering Arrow. I mean, there was a time where they would bring on Deathstroke. We're like, yes. And then they'd pull him from us because from the cinematic side, they were trying to plan and plot some storylines, some movies, some tie-in stuff with Deathstroke. And then suddenly we lost him from the TV show. But now things have changed from up high, and now they're allowing more of these characters to intermingle despite the fact, or despite whatever they may be working on from the cinema side.
Yeah.
So now he's popping up all over the place.
They're like, oh, they can be smart and realize that there's different universes.
What?
Mm-hmm. No, not us. Never.
Yeah.
Transitioning to more animated stuff. DC has announced their upcoming animated shorts basically for the next year. I think most of these are literally going to be shorts. I think they're going to be those like 10 to 20 minute things that get included on like a DVD Blu-ray release of other animated things. But I'm pretty stoked for most of them. They've got a Sergeant Rock one in the works, which is going to take place during World War II. He is obviously a sergeant, but kind of like,
but not the Rock,
the beginnings of Shade, where he's going to have a troop of like supernatural entities. I think it's like Frankenstein and a Wolfman and maybe some vampires, and they're going to be fighting Nazi zombies.
So that sounds like my type of thing.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, wasn't that just a movie?
Yes, it was by J.J. Abrams. It was produced by J.J. Abrams. Sounds like it, though.
There is also an Adam Strange short coming. Yeah, I'm fairly certain as a character he's like tied in with the New Gods, and that is just like my most uninterested sector of DC. Then we've got Death, like straight out of Sandman. And a Phantom Stranger short.
All of that
sounds pretty solid.
Mike's excited.
Oh, Phantom Stranger. Come on.
Yeah.
God damn. I love that.
And they also announced that the next big animated Batman movie is going to be Death in the Family, which would be cool. I mean, in general, it'll be cool. It should be a decent story.
Especially after we saw and witnessed the atrocity of
That's why I'm fucking mad. Because why?
Yeah, I like Mad Paul. He's far more interesting. Go ahead.
So if they were going to do Death of the Family, here it comes. If they were going to do this, why the fuck did they release Hush first? Because such a big part of the Hush storyline is the mystery of is this Jason? Because Jason is dead. We don't know what happened to Jason. If they had done this Death of the Family story first, Death in the Family. Death of the Family was a different story. But if they had done this Death in the Family story first, even if it was like, a flashback, it took place earlier in their DC's current animated continuity. If they had done that first, Hush as a movie could have been so much more impactful. And instead, they just like skipped the whole thing that made that story great. And now they're going to tell that separate story after Hush. I'm fucking mad about it.
It definitely does not make sense.
At this point, like, fuck it. Just do Death of the Family, because I would much rather see that.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Batman side when it comes to these? Not even Batman. Even the last two Superman movies have not been great. The cartoons. Hush was not great. You and I liked Batman Ninja. But I think that's the last.
But Batman Ninja was before they started just throwing all this shit in. Like, it seems like they're starting to, like, after Gotham by Gaslamp, it just seems like they started mass producing things, like, really quick. It's like, oh, fucking Elseworlds story worked. We can just keep turning out things over and over again. And the production value and the animation and everything has gotten weird for me.
Even beyond all of that, just at its core, I'm going to say that Batman Ninja was fun and weird and new because it was fun and weird and new. They got three very Japanese animators and storytellers, and they were like, hey, here's Batman, give us a story. And just it was all original content. Virtually every time they try to adapt something, a story that already exists, it's come out shit. And that's what they need to stay away from.
It's a bit of a shame because for years, the DC animation has been considered amazing. And right now, I feel like that's still the reputation. I think it takes a little bit longer for the mainstream to start realizing, something's wrong with this. And I think that's the case with these cartoons, with the animation, because there's a lot of people that were blowing Hush, saying it was fantastic. And I'm just, I had to take a step back and I actually watched it again, Paul, after we reviewed it. And it's just not good.
So you didn't love it the first time. So you tried it again.
I was trying to be fair. So I decided to watch it again and it just made me more sad. It was not good.
Well,
and I think it's going to, if they're not careful, like Bob said, it feels like they're just mass producing these things now. And the attention to detail from the animation side, from the scripting side, it's not there. It's not there. The Reign of the Superman was awful. I had to watch it three times to get through it. I turned it off. I'm like, this is not good.
They just have to slow down again.
And exactly.
I was talking to David Barron today about it because he asked me about Hush. He's like, I'm not going to watch it. Tell me what the fuck happened. I was like, and I told him, he's like, why the fuck they do that? I'm like, I don't know. He said it. He's like, well, DC needs to go back to more of the Pixar type thing. Release a movie every 2 years and just make sure it's proper.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Instead of three every year and hoping that it's a movie.
But that's what happens with these companies, these studios. Greedy. Yeah, they say they realize they have a winner and then that's all they see. They're like a bull that gets, red in their eyesight. It's like, we see it, we're going to go for it, and we're going to do it until we gorge the audience and they're dead. And that's what they're doing to us.
Can't wait.
Gored, I say, not gorged. Gored.
Nope, gorged. I've been gorged, fellas. Speaking of being gorged, The Birds of Prey movie is gonna be a fucking
he's
thing,
getting better since I've said it.
Yes. I'm just gonna start calling Transition out every time he does it though.
Transition. Okay, so the Birds of Prey movie recently underwent what was referred to as massive reshoots in one article, and then I guess turned out to only be reshoots for like one scene. So I don't fucking know, man.
It was the ending scene, though. It was something huge.
Following the notes, the movie was undergoing massive reshoots. Now, Chad Stahelski was the director of John Wick. Everyone's silent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was brought in to handle what was supposed to be reshoots of specific action scenes, not the other scenes that we'll get into in a minute. But apparently all of the reshoots that occurred, it was all done in like a week, and everybody who managed to take some sweet set photos from the street or whatever, they all basically got the same pictures. So it was like one scene was reshot, and it was something about Harley jumping off a motorcycle and onto a car.
I like that scene in John Wick.
We'll see, I guess, how that plays out, because all the reshoots are done. They wrapped them up and the movie is finished a second time, I guess, back to editing.
Well, this happens when you hire directors that are not. This is her directorial debut, wasn't it? Yes, it's Kathy Yan, and I don't have a problem with her. She comes from the indie circles. She's an indie director, but these fucking studios. I know you want to give a woman a chance, and you want to give a minority a chance, and you should. Believe me, I'm Mexican. I want a chance. Give it to me, Warner Brothers. But you have these studios that are trying to make opportunities, and you should. We need them. It's a shame that it's taken this long to get them. But you can't do it with these giant tentpole movies. You can't do it. Rogue One, a Star Wars story, did it with Gareth Edwards. They had to bring Tony Gilroy in to come in. A stunt director had to come in and redo all the action sequences because they hired a director that was not capable of directing action. Now we have the same thing here. It's silly. It's a waste of budget and it's bad PR. Yes, reshoots is a thing that all movies do. We don't need to get scared and nervous. I know that those are the headlines all the time nowadays. Oh, movies undergoing reshoots. Is this a bad sign? It's not. Every movie, you always budget to take into account potential reshoots. So I mean, that's norm.
That's why Henry Cavill had a fucking mustache as Superman.
Right. It's the norm of the business. So you don't need to get scared about that. The thing that does make me nervous is when they bring in another director to do your job. Mm-hmm. That makes me nervous. And that's just yet another thing that stresses me out about Birds of Prey. And I'm not trying to be negative this week. I'm happy with what we're getting for the most part. But there's some red flags. And Birds of Prey.
You don't have to lie.
Listen, Birds of Prey, there's some red flags.
Yes. I made the joke of if we had the time, I could cut in the Schumacher Batman into the Birds of Prey trailer and everybody would believe those scenes were from there.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck was going on, but it was all neon and I was so confused. And
The teaser?
Yeah.
Did you see it before it or did you just see it online?
I saw it online. I don't like scary movies. I don't go see it.
A little weenie.
I basically giant vagina.
But it was, I don't know.
The CW teaser is what I like to call it.
Okay.
The Birds of Prey teaser looked like it was produced the CW.
It was colorful, it was melodic, and it was short.
Yeah.
And the way that they introduced, like, so I saw it during it, and you absolutely think the movie is starting, and then the DC logo pops up, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? And then
that's clever.
Margot Robbie as Harley pops up, and by the time you really figure out what's happening, it's at least half over.
Yeah.
I guess there are rumors and suspicions that a legitimate full trailer will debut before The Joker.
Is that the right movie to debut that before? I know it's a DC
film. Absolutely not. Nope. Mm-mm.
But you're talking about a hard R film going to, yeah.
But them's the breaks, I guess.
I'm nervous though, man. Even this poster.
You mean with all bad. With all the cutouts?
Yeah, the one sheet poster. I'll post it on the within the description of the episode when it goes on demand. But even the poster is kind of.
It looks like my daughter put a bunch of stickers all over a poster.
Yeah.
I have no faith.
You have no faith, and that's why you're going to enjoy it probably when you go see it.
No. Look, I usually keep my expectations low going into these things, so I'm not like absolutely disappointed. But just everything about the story, the characters, and everything doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know how it'll ever make sense.
So speaking of, if this shit is to be believed, the major, like, legitimate Warner Brothers didn't like this story, time to do reshoots that that occurred beyond just the stunt scene, was apparently because the story of the movie, the story of Birds of Prey, features teenage child Cassandra Cain swallowed a diamond that somehow contains flaming homosexual Black Mask's dick pics, and he will kill to get them back.
Wow.
I don't know what the fuck that even means, man.
That is pretty dark.
How are they etched in the diamond, and why?
It's like when you go to Vegas and you get those crystals with the 3D picture cut into it. It's just this giant wiener.
Yeah, cool. Why?
Because he can.
How fucking much would that cost? And to get it done on a diamond adds the cost of a diamond to the cost of doing that.
So this is a rumor, an actual rumor, that this is the reason why they reshot some scenes?
Yeah, the title of the article was paraphrasing Birds of Prey reshoots removing a pedophilic scene from story. And I don't feel like pedophilia, pedophilic, any of that. I don't think that is the right word to describe
a penis.
Somebody eating a picture. Granted, it's a dick picture and it's a diamond.
But possibly what it's like, suggesting.
The whole fucking thing is weird.
That's a weird rumor because, again, if this was any other studio, I'd be like, this is false. Because studio heads read scripts before they're produced. They would know this is in the script. They would not greenlight this movie without properly reviewing the script. But this is Warner Brothers. And they do things sometimes and that leave all of us scratching our head, wondering what the hell were they thinking. So there could be some legitimacy to this rumor. But it's a bizarre rumor.
It is. That's why my reaction when we first got to this subject, I was like, wait, the fuck, that's not real.
For the movie to be like done, like they were done. They were just editing it together. They finished initial shooting like in May or something, probably before that. I think it was like April.
Yeah.
For the movie to be done and that to be part of the story that was already shot. I don't know. Who's not doing their job?
Yeah. I's need to be dotted. T's need to be crossed. Who dropped the ball in this one?
Ball dick.
Who dropped the dick pic?
And listen, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not offended. I'm as long as even though it's suggesting some odd, like it seems very fetishy. I'm OK with it as long as there's a reason for it, and you're not just being exploitive for no reason or being obscene just to be obscene. But if we're dealing with DC, DC's darker than most superhero storylines. But everything we've seen, including the name, is very offbeat and shiny and bright and doesn't really fit that specific rumor. So
I really want to know to what extent like Margot Robbie is actually involved in.
You actually wrote that part in.
Like, well, apparently just the whole movie, like, was her idea before Suicide Squad was even released.
Yeah.
She was talking to the woman who actually wrote the script for this movie about basically this movie. So I don't know. We'll see. And when it's good or bad or whatever, I'm going to want answers even more.
If this movie ends up sucking, I'm hoping they finally learn not to listen to Margot Robbie. Because, I mean, it's just every rumor, every story that has been headlined by a blog pertaining to the script or the ideas behind this movie have all allegedly come from Margot Robbie. Margot thought this was a great idea and we're going to do it. What type of power? She's an actor.
I mean, are they just saying things and she's like, oh, that's cool. And her opinion doesn't matter, but they're quoting it. Or like, is she actually like the go ahead?
From what I'm reading, she is making a lot of story decisions, which blows me away because Margot Robbie is a fantastic actor. I love her work. I think she's great, but she's not a fucking writer.
But people are going to listen if you flash your vag.
Is she flashing her vag?
She has, yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to look into that and we'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
How many pedophiles actually came from transgender people? Like, how many transgenders out there have been convicted of a sexual crime compared
to
the Catholic Church?
Have you seen Spotlight?
Listen, let's make it even better. You remember Batman Forever?
Yes.
Yeah. Go on.
Remember Batman Forever where the Riddler?
Yeah.
Remember he gave Batman a choice?
Yes.
And he had to choose between Robin?
Right. Or
the hot Nicole Kidman?
Right.
Okay. Well, just imagine. You were given that choice. Let's say I have a small child.
Okay.
And I'm the Predator Riddler.
This is a really weird version of Batman, but yeah. Okay.
And on the left side, it's a Catholic priest. And on the right side, it's a transgender male. Both of them have to use the female bathroom. Which one do you prevent going to the bathroom when your child is in the bathroom? Which one do you stop first? I'm going to drop both of them from a tube. And you must prevent one from going to use the same bathroom as your child.
I'd hit him with the batarang.
Which one?
More Rain Man, visit rainmanshow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN, because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
And we're back with a little bit more superhero lady stuff. We got Batwoman. I got hopes and I got dreams for this show. And one of them is that they're going to fix the currently bastardized image of Tommy Elliot and Hush that shitty animated movie just did. Because Tommy Elliott's going to be in Batwoman.
Really?
Yeah, he will be introduced as a character in season 1, episode 2. And my understanding is that they are going to be building toward him becoming Hush either in the first or second season.
Oh.
And interesting. The whole like identity theft kind of thing story that Hush usually follows would work great in a series where Bruce is missing. You can have Bruce come back and, oh, it's actually Tommy Elliot and only Batwoman knows, and adventure from there. So I'm excited. I hope that pans out well.
OK, how closely connected is she to the Hush storyline in reality from the source material?
Oh, like, no.
None.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's how they all go. I mean, I campaigned for Hush to be on Arrow. I thought it would work perfectly.
It's frustrating when they do that. I'm like, Batwoman has a plethora. I'm sure Paul can name 15 of them right now. Villains that are specific to Batwoman.
Well, and she seems to have that every, like, honestly, going through the news topics, like every other week, there's another little teaser or another trailer for her show. And they're all like different villains. Also
for Batwoman.
Yeah. And also she's Gotham based. So, you know, it's not completely outlandish for her to be fighting a villain that Batman would fight, or that Batgirl would fight, or that Nightwing would fight. They are kind of those shared. She absolutely. Yeah, she does have like her own that she more or less usually deals with. But like, it's Gotham. So I'm not going to be super against like anyone they want to throw at me. Honestly, that's half of what has me excited. And that pilot experience in last year's crossover, going to Arkham and seeing the, you know, just the doors with Oswald Cobblepot and Edward Nygma and just, you know, all of that. Great. I'm on board.
Yeah. I mean, I am keeping an open mind. I'm burnt out with that. Like, Arrow is, I gave Arrow a pass because there was never a chance at that time for Batman to ever be involved in this world. Those were the rules. No Batman. So we were able to use certain characters and we were able to, you know, finesse the Arrow mythology and make it a little more mainstream and appeal by having some of those villains that were more closely connected to Batman. In a lot of ways, Arrow is Batman in so many different ways. The Arrow versus version of Batman. But since then, it's like, well, all right, those rules are no longer there. I even see that with Supergirl as well. Supergirl relies on a lot of storylines that had to do with Superman. You know, that was the biggest turnoff for me. I'm like, well, you're stealing the Superman story. Supergirl, your stories are deep. The Supergirl storylines are fantastic. And yet many times they're using Superman lore, Superman mythology. And I just shrug. I'm like, well, you guys are telling a story about Supergirl, not Superman. And I feel the same thing. Or the same way about Batwoman. If you're doing a Batwoman story, then do a Batwoman story. So
I get what you're saying, and I more or less agree. But I think specifically Hush is a great opportunity to capitalize on Batman not being there, because that can be what his whole thing is. That can be what he's doing. He can impersonate Bruce Wayne, or fuck it, even impersonate Batman and cause mischiefs. And then, you know, her deal is dealing with that, stopping it.
Okay, you sold me. I'm easy. I mean, you made it make sense. That'll work. I just want it to make sense. I want it to make sense. I don't want them relying on another superhero. That's all. Do your story. And if they find a way to do what you just said, then that's a win for me.
But I think, like Paul said, as long as it's based in Gotham, then we have to deal with Batman stuff. You know, it's not like the Supergirl Superman thing. I think it's a bad comparison, or, you know, it's a different thing just because we're not in Metropolis, you know, and we're dealing with Superman stories in a completely different city.
Yeah, I see your point.
I mean, and just, you know, just further, whatever elaboration. How many times, I know it hasn't been a bunch, but how many times have we seen a villain appear both in Flash and Arrow?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying
don't let it be a crutch.
Right. But what next? The Joker. Then we're going to have Penguin. Then we're going to have Harley. I'm like, well, then yes, we'll, I understand Gotham.
Actual show. Not.
Right. That's my point. Are you doing a Batman story? And I understand it's a thin line. And I get it. And you guys are more Batman nutcases than I am. And I get it's a thin line. You're dealing with Gotham, and that makes perfect sense. You're dealing with the Bat family, so a lot of their stories interconnect. But if you start relying too much on the Batman-centric villains, and they start making this connection, the psychology of Batwoman, and making her basically essentially Bruce Wayne, and then I'm just shrugging and like, well, it's a cop out.
If it makes you feel any better, aside from the article that I recently read about, you know, Tommy Elliott being an established character.
Yeah.
Most of the teasers, the trailers, whatever that I have seen have been pointing at, Alice being like the main antagonist for the season. And that is like absolutely a like Batwoman deals with this character.
Good,
kind
cool.
of character. So
yeah,
there you go.
Awesome. I'm going into this with a completely open mind. So
until the 34th time she says she's a woman.
That's the only thing that annoys me. But the opening 30 seconds of that trailer is fucking legit. And then it falls apart. But I'm again, open mind.
What do we got? We got a bunch of news actually about the Suicide Squad, I guess is what we're calling that. We got a whole cast list and we don't know who most of them are going to be.
We know who Polka Dot Man's going to be played by.
I'm telling you, this looks like a lineup for a Comic-Con.
Does somebody like legit, I'm going to botch half the names. And also I'm like medium tired. Does somebody want to read these names?
I don't. Let's see if I can pronounce them. So David-Malashian, John Cena, Jay Courtney, Joaquin Cosio, Nathan Fillion, Joel Kinnaman, Mei-Ling Ning. How do you say that? Lula Borg, Sean Gunn, Juan Diego Bato, Storm Reed, Pete Davidson, for no fucking reason.
I guarantee he's going to be that guy who dies like 6 minutes into the movie.
That'd be funny. Takiya Watatidi-Tidi-Bang-Bang, Alice Braga, Steve Adji, Tinashe Kajisi, Daniela Melchior,
Peter Capaldi, come on,
oh, Capaldi,
man.
Jesus. Julio Ruiz. I only know Mexicans and whites, okay? Give me a break.
He's a white?
No, he's Italian.
Oh, whoops.
Technically, it's white. But Jennifer Holland, Viola Davis, Idris Elba, Margot Robbie, and Michael Rooker.
That's how you delegate.
Yeah, thanks make for me look like a fool. Read all the names and I'll correct you with the one that I actually know.
So basically, we know that... David Dastmalchian, whatever.
David, he was an Ant-Man.
Yeah, he was an Ant-Man. He was the guy who screams Baba Yaga. Ghost lady. He's genuinely enjoyable. We'll see. But he is apparently going to be playing Polka Dot Man. Jai Courtney will be returning. He was Captain Boomerang.
Cool.
Joel Kinnaman was Rick Flagg. Yes, Ryan. Ryan is Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, Ryan's excited. He's like, I didn't get rid of the costume.
Saved it. Viola Davis is
the only
Amanda
thing he didn't
Waller.
Save from the time the first one came out to this one is his hairline. Even when he's not here, I can make fun of him.
Margot Robbie is, of course, going to be Harley Quinn. Outside of that, there is speculation that John Cena is going to be Peacemaker. Daniela Melchior may be the gender-swapped rat catcher. And Idris Elba might be Deathstroke, might be Bronze Tiger, might be somebody else completely. And the other 43 names, we have no idea who they're going to be. Other than Steve Agee is apparently voicing King Shark, but we got a whole bunch of names and no real details. And apparently this is all we're going to be getting because James Gunn said not to expect any other character information for like quite some time. Filming is speculated to be beginning like real soon here, like the 23rd, like Monday.
And so we'll start seeing pictures here.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid for this one. I think James Gunn is a capable director. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that obviously this is going to have a different feel than Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's a given. I know there's some talk and some murmuring on the interwebs that this is looking more and more like Guardians of the Galaxy. But let's be honest, Suicide Squad can very much fit into that kind of hip, oddball, offbeat, kind of cool guy vibe that James Gunn does so well. So as long as it has the themes and tones of DC, I feel like James Gunn's style will work pretty well with this. But overall, I'm pretty confident with this movie. Honestly, I wasn't when I heard it was going to be a complete reboot, which they are sticking to that. But we also have the same cast.
According to what, just like the last thing that I read was literally a quote from him. He was asked whether it was going to be a reboot or a continuation. Yeah. And he said, it comes out in 2 years. Fucking wait.
That's the answer.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and I the fact it. That Margot Robbie and Viola Davis and the other Rick Flag guy and yeah. Captain Boomerang guy are all reprising their roles. Like you can tell me it's a reboot. If you want it to be a reboot, tell me it's a reboot, but like it's a sequel and you can't change my headcanon.
I think what they're trying to do is what they're doing with everything we've seen so far since post Justice League. It's a soft reboot. They're trying to forget what came before, but they also at the same time have to hold on to what worked. So that's why they're very careful with what they're saying. Like, well, it's not a reboot, but it's a soft reboot. We're just going to not mention those events.
I know. We will see. Because, yeah, like you said, with filming about to begin, set photos and everything else, there should be a lot coming in the near future.
So if how are they going to get Harley back in jail then?
Well, she got broken out at the end.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she has to go to jail at the end of Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey, right?
I mean, technically, once you're in the Suicide Squad, you have that bomb implanted. So, like, even if Joker broke her out at the end of that movie and then continuing through all of Birds of Prey, she's still got that bomb in there. Like, Amanda Waller still has complete control over her. So they can, I don't know, whatever. We'll see what they fucking story.
They're going to have to acknowledge that, right? In Birds of Prey somehow.
That's what I figured.
I mean, that's just how it can end. They finally tracked her down or something. I don't know. Because the whole Birds of Prey movie could take place over, like, 2 days or something.
Yeah.
But apparently, I mean, I think we knew that James Gunn was going to be doing Guardians of the Galaxy 3 after he completes the Suicide Squad, but he will be returning to DC movies after completing Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
That's good.
So
I'm surprised he even went back to Guardians 3.
I think he did it more for the cast than anything else. He went for all the people that had his back the whole time and specifically wanted to work with him.
A loyalty type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he gives two shits about Marvel anymore. I honestly feel like in his mind, it's a big middle finger to them. But he's going back. Absolutely, Paul. I think he's going back for the cast because they fought for him so much. They really did. They put themselves on the line, dude. I mean, this could have gone terribly wrong for every single one of those actors.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with today's social landscape, they're turned into a bad guy just because they have an opposing view. And the fact that every single one of those actors went to bat for him publicly, not like on, you know, not because they were questioned on the red carpet and they gave you some bullshit reply. No, they publicly stated.
I mean, it's only one name, but, you know, Michael Rooker's character died. So here he is in the jumping brands and in the next James Gunn movie.
Yep.
Isn't Sean Gunn isn't he the dude who like was taking over Yondu's role?
Yeah, I believe so. And he does all the stuff for Rocket. He's the guy who crawls around.
Oh, does he?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So and the role of Peacemaker that John Cena is rumored to be doing, Batista was trying to get that if James Gunn wasn't going to be brought back for Guardians 3, Batista didn't want to do it. So he was trying to like jump ship and get in on Suicide Squad as well.
He would have been better.
We'll see. John Cena is not the worst.
No.
As long as he's not in a ring.
I mean, he's kind of bad in Bumblebee.
Nobody watched that.
That was a pretty good.
My name's Nobody.
Jesus Christ. I was like, wait, all three of us watched it.
All right.
What do we got? Joker stuff? We want to talk about you? Yeah, there was some good Joker stuff. Joaquin Phoenix studied footage of people suffering from pathological laughter, which is a neurological disorder causing uncontrollable laughter, to create his Joker laugh. I appreciate that. I think that's why he kind of like almost sounds nervous. There's like a nervous tone to the laughter.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
His laughter comes off as a bit of a tic as well.
Yeah.
Like a disorder.
He also, just like as a wrap-up quote, he said that he had a lot of fun in the movie and he did not go to a dark place. So,
so you know, maybe like there's no don't mixture send of dead cocktail. Rats
to all your co-stars.
Yeah, so stupid. Talking about Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also Joaquin Phoenix is known for slipping into character too far. I think on the set of what's that Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line?
Yeah.
He had to go get help afterwards because he, in order to reach that level of sadness, he just dwelled on his brother's death day in and day out. And he said it took a toll on him and he couldn't get out of it. That's fucking commitment, dude.
Mm-hmm. They announced that the runtime is going to be 122 minutes, which is 2 hours, 2 minutes. The movie was confirmed to have a hard R. So there's that for whoever gonna jizz their pants about that or whoever didn't see that coming.
Well, it also just won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival.
It's killing at film festivals.
That's a good sign for people who like art films. I mean, honestly, I was getting a little nervous with all of the hype based on a trailer. In fact, I bitched about it on social media. I'm like, guys, how do you know
it's going to win every Oscar? Yeah. Get over it.
I'm like, over a fucking trailer. You guys are claiming in headlines that it's going to win an Oscar.
Best trailer of the year. And the Oscar goes to?
Yeah, it's
Joker.
Very annoying. But then
it is Oscar the right thing? Academy Award?
Academy Award, yeah.
Same thing. The Grammy goes to?
The Grammy. Best singer of the year. It'll win every award, according to the blogs.
It's already won like 3 Nickelodeon awards.
Nice. So stupid.
First hard R movie to win.
The Golden Lion is a legit award. That's the award for the Venice Film Festival, which is one of the biggest film festivals within the film circuit and within the art crowd. So, I mean, dude, that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's some big accolades.
So the Joker goes from winning Razzies to winning real awards.
That's so sad.
Jared Leto's crying somewhere.
Oh, for real, because he is an actor's actor. He's a good actor too.
Yeah.
Hey, but just the material, and he just didn't get a fair shake.
No.
And now that he's gonna live with that funk for the rest of his life.
Forever. Todd Phillips is actually he was quoted for saying he'd be on board for a sequel. So I mean, we'll see how this movie ends and how it does and everything else. Preemptively, I don't want one. I want this just to be a thing, but you know, we'll see what happens.
This is Warner Brothers. They're going to milk this.
Oh yeah, especially if it's already. I think they said it was tracking for an opening
like 103 something million.
What was that?
An 82 million, according to the Hollywood Reporter that came out today. It's an updated Joker is tracking for a record $82 million
for a rated R movie that I think was 55 to make.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've already greenlit the second one.
That's insane, man.
Well, and it's funny because they keep talking that it's not from the comics, but there's so much in it that again looks somewhat.
That is that part, that piece is like a misquote. There was I think it was published in like Entertainment Weekly and a couple other places where Todd Phillips was quoted as saying that this movie does not follow anything from the comics. And the actual quote that he cleared up was that it doesn't follow anything from a specific comic, like a specific story.
Right.
They searched through and cherry picked the things that they liked and wanted to use from 80 years of Joker canon.
That's good.
So absolutely, there is a lot of stuff that you will recognize.
Oh, yeah, because it feels like Killing Joke for me.
It's not a recreation of a story.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
That's good. Because again, maybe we just complained about the animated series not following the stories. Well, you don't have to follow the stories.
Yeah, be original.
If it feels like the Joker, and we can pick, you know, us nerds can sit there and go, okay, that's from this story. That's from this story. You know, that's great. Take the best of what's out there and do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like honestly one of the only movies I'm excited about for the end of the year.
Not the Harley Quinn. No. I thought you were super excited about
that. Super excited. I'm sure that'll be the first Warner Brothers movie we'll be able to screen, and somehow I'll have to go to it.
Oh, by the way, Bob.
Hey, I was going to wait till you actually came in the studio to tell you this, but we got Warner Brothers movie. Thanks.
I take another month off now, Mike. See you later, fucker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be back in October, like I promised.
Pull this to a close at this point, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we got two last little bits. One, Batman will be getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
There are no details about the date for the ceremony or speakers yet, but that's going to happen. So I guess that's cool.
It better be a bat symbol. I don't want a star.
Right. And then I guess aside from that, we're going to break the fourth wall here. You said that this is going up sooner than later.
Yes, it's going out on Sunday, this Sunday.
All right, cool. So Batman Day is Saturday the 21st for that celebrate. The Epic Games Store for, the PC game marketplace thing, Epic Games Store through the 26th. So if you happen to listen to this early, good for you. They are giving away for free Lego Batman 1-3. As well as Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. All you got to do is make an account, and you can download all three or all six of those, rather. So, Batman games
for free.
In Batman, it's free.
I'm gonna download that while I touch myself.
Nice.
That's not too much information.
It's not.
Okay.
Well, you didn't say where you're touching yourself.
We've got a link to the store that we can throw wherever that needs to be thrown as well. So, I think that's going to do it for now. Go download some free games.
While you touch yourself.
Listen to this podcast again while you do that.
While you touch yourself.
Write us some reviews and stuff. Tell everyone that we tell you about free games that are available for roughly 1 week. If you don't listen to the show fast, it's gone. We have no part in that. It's just how it is. I'm sorry, guys. Be sure to follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. And bookmark us on RainmanDigitalMedia.com. We'll see you next time, guys.
Blah, 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 blah. All of that chit-chat's gonna get you hurt.
Oh, my God.